This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Thanks for being with us here today. We've got the First Advantage text line ready for you today on this Top Text Tuesday. Second to final Top Text Tuesday of the year. Thanks to our wonderful friends at Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. I'm going to give stuff away today, Mike. I've got gift cards to Diamond Valley Collectibles. I've got gift cards to Big City Roadhouse. How would you like me to give them away, Mike? You're a creative guy, kind of.
I think you should give them away to all the texters.
Everyone that texts in?
Well, to all of your favorite top texts.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll award it out as we go here. I want funny today. I don't know. Christmassy. Something Christmassy. I don't know. I know you're not like in the Christmas spirit and stuff, and that sucks for you. But, man, I got to tell you. We tried the elf dish this morning on Good Morning NoCo. Brian Gary made that. He like Googled the recipe that Will Ferrell actually, I think he actually ate in the movie. With like spaghetti noodles and a bunch of different things. It was not good. You don't look so hot over there, Mike.
I'm not good.
What was it? It was like spaghetti. It was syrup, maple syrup, chocolate. Hershey's chocolate syrup.
M&M's, I think.
M&M's. What else was on a Pop-Tart? The Pop-Tart and their marshmallows on there. That was a little, and then a little like chocolate sprinkle thingy. Too much chocolate, man. Just too much chocolate.
Yeah, a lot of high fructose corn syrup.
Looked better in the movie than it did as we were eating it. I'm not a big sweets guy. I'm sweet enough, Mike. Thanks.
I like sweets, but chocolate is too much, and I already wasn't feeling great this morning. Like I didn't get sleep, so I came in not feeling great, and now my stomach's like, yeah. I also don't feel good.
All right, where do you want to go right now, Mike? You want to talk about Old Man Rivers?
I want to go home.
You want to talk about, no, nobody cares. Old Man Rivers, we want to talk about college football playoffs.
Let's talk about Old Man Rivers, because I'm going to be honest with you. I thought he'd be much older.
You thought he'd be much older than he is?
Well, I thought he'd play much older.
Okay. Let me get into this. 23 of 35, 277 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. First quarter was pretty good. He looked pretty good. And honestly, like, he wasn't the problem. Defensively, you give up 48. The pick six by Rivers. Pretty good game. I mean, it's actually a really wild stories, man. Yeah, GoPoke says, Old Man Rivers is a dog. He's got like the little flat jacket there, you know, to protect his ribs and stuff, and it sticks out like his belly. So it looks a little larger. No, I don't.
I think he's just fat.
No, I don't think he's that fat. No. He looked good, man. I think the story is awesome. And for the Colts, it's they didn't have a lot of options. Everyone was hurt, and you know, Riley Leonard gets in and throws one ball late on fourth down, whatever. They needed a guy that could kind of learn the offense and try to salvage something out of the season. What was it, man? I was looking before Daniel Jones went down, they had like a 98% chance of making the playoffs. And now 8-7. More than likely out of it. However, Rivers is talking about, you know, being able to fight through, and they're still technically alive at number 8. They're on the outside looking in. they have to win their final game, their last two games, and they're going to need a lot of help the rest of the way. If Pittsburgh can lose, if Houston can lose, I suppose there is still a mathematical chance, but it's not looking great. Big Hub says, yes, every texter gets a prize. No, this is why Michael's not allowed to make any kind of decision at all, really, to be honest with you. That would break the old prize closet back there. Faith says, that pick six was Warren's fault because he gave up the read on the play. Yeah, it didn't look that bad of a throw from Rivers. It really didn't. Texter Faith looked... Rivers looked electric. That darn defense killed it. He played good enough to win. The defense did not. How can you not be a fan of this story, though? I just, like, think about it. A guy is out from 2000 to now and comes in and throws for 277 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. He was sacked twice, only twice. Can barely move out there. He had a quarterback rating of 97. And thanks to Mike Danson's gift of the toilet bowl this year, I have learned a lot about QBR, Mike. I have learned a lot about QBR. I always kind of used to ignore it. But you can be a good quarterback. You can put on you can put up a good rating. You can have great numbers, but you can still have a low QBR. And that's situational. They take into account the actual statistics for the defense you're facing. How you performed in serious situations, too, in late game situations. Did you take a sack at a really bad time that ended that killed a drive? Did you throw a pick? Did you throw a pick six? There's a lot to it that goes into it. It's a fascinating stat. So the Colts lose 48-27. Brock Purdy with five touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey's pretty good, isn't he? 21 carries for 117 yards and six receptions, 29 yards, but two touchdowns. He's fun to watch. George Kittle had himself a night, seven receptions for 115 yards and one touchdown. So he was good. And we wrap up the third to last week in the NFL. The second to last week begins on Thursday. And we know what that means for the Broncos, so we'll get into that conversation a little bit later on. The Nuggets looked good last night, Michael. I mean, look at some of these stats for Denver. Four players with 20-plus points. Peyton Watson, Tim Hardaway Jr., Jamal Murray, and Cam Johnson. Three players with six three-pointers. That was Jamal, Cam, and Tim. Seventh time that's happened in NBA history. Players with double-doubles, too, Joker and Jonas. Seven players in double figures. Tim, Cam, Joker, Jamal, Bruce, Peyton, and Jonas. Yeah, I'll take that. You know, and I'm like watching the game back and forth between the Colts-Niners game, and people are, oh, they gave up too many points later. You know, they got lazy. When you get up, they were 40-15 at the end of the first period. It is hard to maintain that kind of pressure in any level in basketball. But Denver still wins pretty big, 135-112 over Utah. 24 of 46 from three. That was the most in team history right there. 24 three-pointers for the Denver Nuggets last night. Joker had a modest triple-double, 14 points, 13 boards, 13 assists. Jamal's doing his thing. We got to talk about Jamal. Guy's playing on an all-star level. 27 points for him, 8 of 16, 6 of 12 from 3. Cam Johnson had himself a night, perfect from 3 last night. So, big deal. Texter says, talking about the dish earlier that we had, diabetes on a plate. Yeah, that was rough. Texter says, GoPoke says, shows the mental side is likely bigger than the physical. That's why these young quarterbacks get the shaft with public judgment as rookies and freshman sophomore players. Well, I'm watching Phillip Rivers, and it reminds me of Peyton Manning in his final year. The mind was still there. The ability to read defenses was still there, to know the offense, to know what kind of a zone they're in. To study all 11 players on defense before you snap the ball. That's why Peyton Manning got the start in the second half of that game versus the Chargers, when Brock Osweiler wasn't really bad. He wasn't playing bad. I think there were a few weird turnovers from other guys, but Brock was not calling the right audibles at the line of scrimmage. Therefore, you're getting a lot of those crazy blitzes attacking running backs in the backfield. Manning, when he came in, was just calling the right stuff. And that's what it reminded me of with Rivers last night. Rivers kind of has that push-throw kind of deal. I don't know how he survived in the league as long as he did, but a lot of it's mental. And he's a student of the game. He absolutely loves the game. Win or lose, I think it's a phenomenal story. Like this, let me ask you this question. Does this, because I think Philip Rivers was on the cusp of Hall of Fame. I'm pretty strict on the Hall of Fame, but a lot of people like to throw this stuff at me. Can you tell the story of the NFL without this guy? And I don't love that, but if we're doing that kind of thing, don't you think Philip Rivers coming back at the age of 44 after being out of the league for 5 years and still being able to put up decent numbers, does that add to his Hall of Fame resume? I mean, there's no wins so far. He's lost both games. Does that add to his Hall of Fame resume at all?
I think it helps to his legend. If you're one of those people, give him a couple more games.
And he's going to get them. He's going to get the final two games, assuming he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Assuming he doesn't.
Well, he's making the right reads. He's making quick reads, so he's not taking a lot of monster hits back there.
I think
yeah, it's worth a conversation.
I think he's going to need to have two solid games. Like, maybe not solid, just, but not safe. He's got to have pretty decent games for people to turn their heads and go, you know what, maybe him as an old man, maybe he is a Hall of Famer. Because not everyone could do this. You can't.
There's a lot of great quarterbacks. Like, John Elway retired at what, 38? John played reckless style of football.
His arm work.
Which I want to send you a clip. I sent you a clip from his Netflix thing, or an interview promoting the Netflix documentary. Oh, I sent it to you, Mike. Mike was too busy, you know, digesting the spaghetti and sprinkles we had and the chocolates and all that stuff, so he wasn't able to do his job. But Manning's, I want to see this documentary. It's on Netflix. I have to renew Netflix now. We were going to do it anyway for Stranger Things, so now we're going to just have to do it for another reason as well, because I definitely want to see this, because that was a miraculous time. But I don't know when John was ready to be done, because, you know, everybody thought, oh, he's going to come back for the three-peat. He's going to be ready to go. And it was kind of a little bit of a shock. There were a lot of people around him that knew he was going to retire at the end after they won that second Super Bowl. But he was, I don't know that he would have came back and been the same guy. I mean, he looked old, didn't he? I mean, he just looked older. It's crazy because I'm a year older than he was when he retired. Elway just looked old by the time his career was over. And so I don't, that's a great point, because I don't know many guys that are going to come back after being out of the league for 5 years. I mean, Michael Vick was out for a couple of years, remember, with the whole prison thing. And when he came back, he was decent for Philadelphia. But he wasn't the same guy. We're talking about 5 years. And again, Vic was in prison. That's different. And he was still younger and athletic by the time he got back into the league. But Rivers was like well past the time to retire when he called it quits. I mean, you could see it. He was still putting up okay games once in a while. But this story to me is a miraculous one, regardless of how the season ends for them. You know, coming up next for the Colts, they have Jacksonville, which we could use their help as we're in this number one seed watch. And then they're at Houston. If they somehow pull off an upset against either one of those teams right now, you could tell me they're going to win a Super Bowl, the Jags or Houston, and I wouldn't call you crazy. I don't think there's many teams that are in the AFC that I'm absolutely throwing that out the door. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Texter says, how many former players are thinking, damn, should have played a little more, LOL. Elway wants that third Lombardi now. Yeah, I wonder sometimes if Elway regretted that. We got the Lonster. on the First Advantage Hotline. Lonster, what's up, man? Merry Christmas, my friend.
Well, hey, Merry Christmas to you and your family, to everybody at KFK Radio.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. We love you listening and chiming in when you can. It means the world to us, man.
Well, you know what? I enjoy listening to you guys. I mean, in fact, that's the only sports show I ever listen to is you guys.
That's what we want to hear right there. Michael, cut that up and put that into a promo with your wizardry back there. Lonster, what's on your mind, man?
Hey, you know what? I was checking out that game last night, and Philip Rivers did not look too bad. I mean, he played okay.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of people thought he would be dead. Like, he would have gotten hit the first couple of times and been out. The fact that he's gotten better within 2 weeks, really just a week, is pretty miraculous.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? I still wouldn't want to have him as a quarterback.
No, he's not. He's not like your long-term plan. He's not like, hey, we're going to go into next season with Philip Rivers. I don't think the guy can go a full training camp and preseason and an entire year. But for a rental, for a couple of games, when you're pretty much out of options, it's not a bad option.
No, it's not. But I'll tell you what. No, if I was in Indianapolis, I think I'd be drafting for a new quarterback next year.
Oh, really? Well, Daniel Jones will be. Well, he should be back at some point.
Yeah, but Daniel Jones is so banged. It gets banged up himself too. I mean, no. If I was in Indianapolis, I think I'd start fresh and get somebody.
All right, Lonster. Hey, what's for Christmas dinner this week, man?
You know what? We're going to be going over to some family, and we're going to be having Christmas dinner at their house.
What are you doing? Anything unique, or is it like turkey?
You know what? I have no idea what they're going to. I think we're going to probably have ham, potatoes, or who knows what they're going to say.
All right, man. Lonster sounds good, my friend.
But you know what? It's sure not that chocolate spaghetti garbage.
Boy, that was rough. That was rough.
You know what? Listening to that, that just made me. It's like, Uncle Ed, I ate breakfast about 2 hours ago.
Yeah. That was not good, man.
I mean, and if Tanner likes that stuff, I don't know where he's coming from on that.
I think he's like part elf. I think he is. I think he's got a little bit of that Will Ferrell elf situation going on with him, man. I think maybe he was an adopted child from the North Pole, maybe.
Yeah, that, or somebody didn't want him. I'm not sure.
Who knows? He did wear his Christmas suit today, so he's looking the part.
I'd ask him if he wants a little hot sauce to go with that.
Yeah,
you know?
You would probably put some hot sauce on that. Might take the sting off of all the sweet.
I'd pass on that whole thing completely.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. Lonster, appreciate you, man.
Hey, everybody, have a Merry Christmas.
All right, man. Merry Christmas to you. 22 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's take a quick break here. We got the I think this is our last quarterback toilet bowl we're going to do, and unless we want to, like, live. I don't know. Maybe we'll do it next week, I guess. Maybe the guys will want to stay on and do a playoff edition, because now we got to pick the worst of the best. That might really test it, because I think it's tight right now between me and Danza with himself. So they're going to be in studio here at 1 o'clock, so that'll be a lot of fun. Let's talk about the Nuggets. Why does everybody have a good idea about the college football playoffs except for the NCAA and the actual college football playoff committee? Dan Lanning even said it. The way we do, this is his quote, the way we do playoffs in college football is messed up. We're really excited to be going to the Orange Bowl, but this game should be played at Texas Tech. Dude, I've said this since I was like 8. College football has always been weird. Yeah, once Saturday hits and kickoff hits, you're just kind of in the mode and it's game time. But everything surrounding college football is always just clunky, and it's getting worse as we go here with the addition of the playoffs, which I thought would be a good thing, which I still think it is a good thing, because I'm engaged, I'm entertained, and you know, NIL, transfer portal, coaches leaving before the playoffs, transfer portal window, it's conference realignment, conferences leaving, you know, suing each other. It's just gotten more clunky as we go here. So we'll talk about that throughout the show today. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice. It is Christmas Eve Eve here on the program. Hope you guys are going to have a lot of fun. Wherever you're going, I hope you're safe. Sounds like the weather's going to be disgustingly good, which makes me depressed. We'll be right back.
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
Thanks for making KFKA a part of your diet.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Are you seeing any similarities between that Super Bowl 50 team that you put together, John, and the one that's being put together for a Super Bowl 60 run? Do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think because of, you know, Super Bowl 50, you know, we were so good on the defensive side, and I think we're 19th in the league in offense, but the, you know, one key factor we had there was we had the Peyton Manning factor there, and the fact that anytime he was on the field, everybody thought we could win a football game. And so I just, they're still playing great defense. I think the offense has come a long way. I think Bo has got better week in and week out. He's still young and still makes some mistakes, but I think that, he's got the potential to be a great one in this league for a long time. And the experience he's getting is great. And so, the next 2 weeks are two big weeks for him. And I'm sure that, they'll come out and play well. But I think, to me, when I look back, I think this team's probably a little more well-rounded than we were, in the fact that, offensively, I think they're a little more explosive than we were.
Isn't that interesting? Because obviously, Peyton Manning neck up, can't get any better than that. We also know, obviously, his physical status, if you will.
There's Rich Eisen with John Elway. I know they were talking about the documentary on Netflix, but wanted to throw that clip out, too, because I've said this a few times on the show. That the difference that Denver was pretty dominant in the Super Bowl 50 year. And offensively, they were average. What do you say? They were 18th? You remember, Manning's out, and Brock Osweiler's playing a good chunk of that. And he's having some good games, but not the type of exciting stuff that you were seeing from Bo Nix. I think there was a lot of people that were pumped about the future for Brock Osweiler, but not the way I'm seeing it with Bo. Now, you look back at that offense that year. Obviously Peyton Manning for the most part, but then also Brock Osweiler. C.J. Anderson, a running back. I would say C.J. is probably a better traditional running back than the two guys, even with J.K. Dobbins. Wide receivers, though, is Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Good offensive line, Ryan Harris, Shelby Smith. Who was their center? Oh, Gino Gradkowski and Max Garcia, Matt Paradis, kind of a mix between those guys. Luis Vasquez. And then you had Chris Clark. Michael Schofield was on that roster. Tight ends were, Virgil Green and Owen Daniels. This offense, I don't know that it's much better when you're just going down the roster like that, but the main difference I see, Bo Nix physically is better than both of those guys were in that final year with Manning and Osweiler. Bo has been kind of the difference to me. So when you say explosive, what I hear is Bo, because Manning wasn't throwing a lot of deep passes down the field. And Brock certainly wasn't moving a lot. Manning wasn't moving a lot. Bo's ability to run around in the pocket, get out of the pocket, throw, step into the pocket and throw downfield, that to me is the major difference. I take Bo off this team and put Jarrett Stidham there, or put even a Peyton Manning and a Brock Osweiler there, you probably have a less, further down the road than average type of offense. And That to me is the big difference. So it was kind of fascinating to hear Elway talk about that. Mike, did you see any of the documentary coming out on Netflix? You look like you are going to die back there. Wow. You are like a child when it comes to too much food. You are barely with me back there. It's sad to see, to be honest with you.
I'm also starting to get a headache.
Okay. Well, probably a sugar high. Now you're coming down off that sugar high, but man, get it together, bro. We're at work here. Come on, get it together. You gonna watch the documentary, or are you gonna be alive to watch the Elway documentary?
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be alive.
Tanner ate a hell of a lot more than you did, and he looks fine. So as much crap as you give Tanner all the time, Tanner's running around, happy, ready to go, and you look like you're ready to crawl into one of those Star Trek caves that you always tell me about.
Tanner is half my age.
Yeah, and I'm also not that much younger than you, and I ate it. I'm fine. I'm ready to go. I mean, it was disgusting, but yeah. You want a vitamin? You want one? We could probably get one of the listeners to bring like one of those Flintstone vitamins things over here, buddy. Walgreens isn't that far away.
I think I'm just going to down a bunch of ibuprofen.
There you go. Okay.
Hope it doesn't ruin my stomach.
What do you think this is going to be about? It started last night, so I'm going to have to catch up on it over the holidays. But I'm curious, what is one thing you want to know about John Elway? What, in his playing career, in his general management career, what is the one thing that you would like to learn from a documentary about John Elway?
How bad did he feel? Like, how bad was the relationship between him and the coaches before
Dan Reeves,
Mike Shanahan?
And Dan Reeves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what his relationship, like, he had, like, two coaches before Mike Shanahan, and I don't know exactly, like, did he have a bad relationship with both of them? Was it just with Dan Reeves?
Well, wasn't it Dan Reeves's, under his regime, they drafted Tommy Maddox?
I believe so.
And that was, you know, that was the idea was that Elway's maybe not going to be the long-term franchise guy anymore. And so they thought maybe Tommy Maddox would take over at some point. And obviously those two didn't have a great relationship. And I would be curious about that. I would be curious to hear on his VP days too. Like I'm curious about the Tebow stuff. I don't know if that'll come up.
I don't think that'll come up.
Why
because
not?
Everybody knows what the answer is.
What's the answer?
I wanted a quarterback who could read defenses, throw a better ball, wasn't always handing the ball off to himself.
I'm not talking about replacing Manning, you know, replacing Tebow with Manning that year. Because I don't know how close you followed that year. I remember reading an article in the Denver Post, and it was about John Fox. I think they actually sat down with reporters, and it was John Fox in there. He's got a cigar, and Elway, they're talking about Tebow and how they're going to make this work. Because remember, they made a transition from Kyle Orton to Tim Tebow. That's like your prototypical pocket passer, pretty good in between the 20s, not much of a red zone threat, pretty not that much of a charismatic guy. And then you go to Tebow, who's not a pocket passer at all, but he's damn exciting, very charismatic, and they got to try to make it work. I'd be curious to hear about that. I would love to hear about how they got Peyton Manning again, just to refresh us on that, because that was an exciting time. I'm curious about his relationship with Von Miller. I don't know if that will come. I don't know how much of this is going to be Elway's playing career. Because what's more fascinating to people that have Netflix now is Elway's playing career, or is it what happened after the fact? There's going to be a lot of 40, you know, mid-30 to 39, 30, you know, 40-plus that are still like, yeah, I want to hear the stories of how that season went, of how his seasons went down as a player. But more recently, Elway was a part, you know, and he was the constructor of one of the best times to be a Broncos fan. And that was surviving the Tebow years. That was getting Peyton Manning to Denver, building up a defense that's one of the best defenses in NFL history with the no-fly zone. I think, you know, obviously the Pat Bowlen stuff, you know, this one's for Pat after they won that Super Bowl, how memorable that was. How did it go with the trust after, you know, Pat Bowlen was, before he died, as he was kind of, his health was deteriorating, how was that relation? What were those relationships like? Knowing there's no owner, there's no central figure above you calling the shots, and you're still kind of managing this team, missing on Josh Allen. Those are going to be big stories that I know you went right to the Dan Reeves stuff and the coaches before Shanny. I'm actually almost as interested in his GM days because I think that's fascinating. So I'm definitely excited to watch this. I don't know how many get. I mean, is he going to be Michael Jordan style? Because Jordan's was very much documenting his final season, but also backtracking and going into when he was in high school and college and the relationships that he built up, the rivalries that he built up, also the personal stuff that happened. And it was so freaking well done. I don't know if they can capture some of that. I think a lot of Broncos fans will really love it. But I'm just curious how much of the playing days are going to be focused on, or how much of the GM stuff. We'll see. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. 1139 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Now, I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme.
Yes, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of the hooligans and the Hall of Famers out there alike. I hope it's going to be a wonderful one for you guys. So the Netflix documentary is going to cover Hall of Famer John Elway's entire journey from being a multi-sport phenom drafted by the Yankees, his iconic Stanford career, immense pressure as the Broncos QB, devastating Super Bowl losses like the drive, and an ultimate redemption. So this is the description on Netflix, an ultimate redemption with back-to-back Super Bowl wins, delving into personal struggles, family, and his later role as an executive, all told with his own voice and insights from those close to him. John's like, that's one of those names. You know, we talk about quarterbacks now, and there's a lot of great quarterbacks. There's a lot of franchise guys, and you know, we just saw one of those dudes play last night on Monday Night Football in Philip Rivers, and what he meant to the Chargers for a long time there, and the stories that he could probably tell. This is, to me, one of the most fascinating thing in sports is a franchise quarterback. Not just quarterback the position, but a franchise quarterback. He is the guy you're putting, I mean, all the eggs are going in that basket. You're building around that guy, and that's the first thing fans, reporters, talking heads go to, is your quarterback. It's the most important position in all of sports. We could argue all day about what's the most difficult position to play in sports, but as far as the most important, I mean, I watch basketball, and any team can have a superstar. That could be a point guard, that could be a two. That could be a small forward. That could be a center. Hockey, you can have great defensemen. You can have a great goal. I mean, it all just depends on the team and how it's constructed. With football, more often than not, you know, you're talking about teams that win consistently and win Super Bowls. They've got it figured out at the quarterback position. So being able to hear about, like, this specific note, the immense pressure as the Broncos quarterback, I mean, it's a different world. And that was before social media. That was well before social media. But everybody knew who John Elway was. And for most Broncos fans, he was the savior. He was the guy that really put the Broncos on that consistent, hey, we're in a Super Bowl window map. And for some that like to debate quarterbacks, didn't love the way he came into the league. Kind of similar to how guys like Eli Manning came into the league, or how it was rumored that Caleb Williams was going to come into the league and demanding all these things. Elway did. He wasn't going to go to Baltimore. If he got drafted by Baltimore, he was going to go play baseball. He was going to go play for the Yankees. What kind of life would that have been? What kind of story would that have been? He'd have been a part, if he was good, he would have been a part of a storied franchise, a storied baseball team. But he came to Denver and he became the face of an organization. Still to this day, you can talk about Von Miller and Peyton Manning and now a guy like Bo Nix and your Terrell Davises and Shannon Sharps and Patrick Sertans, like all these great Broncos players that have came and went or are still playing. It always goes back to John Elway. And that's why when, you know, we look at a guy like Nikola Jokic for the Nuggets putting up these incredible numbers every single night and finally winning a championship in the NBA, it's very difficult to win a championship in a nasty market for the NBA. none of that stuff matters to a lot of people like Michael and a lot of Broncos. And I get why. Like when I say, I think Joker's career is better already. You know, maybe give him one more title and his career as an athlete is going to be better. I think it is. But a lot of Broncos fans really have a problem with that because Elway was the king of the most popular sport in the country. And he was the king of the most popular sport in the state of Colorado. And he still is. Like, for Bo to even touch that, I mean, you're talking probably multiple Super Bowls. Because he might put up bigger numbers by the time his career is all said and done. Because that's the NFL now. Faith says there are names synonymous with the sport. And John Elway now is that for football. Where would you put John Elway? Now, I know locally we put John Elway on the pedestal. In basketball, it's pretty easy to say, for me anyway, the greatest basketball player of all time is Michael Jordan, although I'm starting to lean in on this Nikola Jokic thing. That's a story for another day. Or you could go Kobe, you could go LeBron. I mean, those are your conventional arguments. Football, is it just like Tom Brady and then four or five other guys below him? Or is Elway still at the top of the mountain with the Joe Montanas and such? Like, where would you rank John Elway in terms of greatest football players of all time?
Mark Schlereth debated 20 millennials on a number of topics. And one of the topics was John Elway was one of the best quarterbacks. And his argument was football is different today than it was back then. And I agree.
No, that's, yeah.
John, even though you have to say that Tom Brady is the greatest of all time because of his accomplishments, Joe Montana was the Tom Brady back then, only maybe with a better arm and a different football. Like, football, they didn't throw as much.
You're saying the football was different? Or just brand of football was different?
Was different.
Like, wait, you're saying the actual ball was different?
Or no, I'm not saying
okay,
the ball.
You said football.
I'm talking about the game itself.
Yeah. Well,
was
different. The rules changed. The rules changed in the early 2000s. So they wanted more offense. So for Elway to be one of those guys, football's a harder one to debate because isn't it weird to say Tom Brady is one of the greatest athletes of all time?
Because he's not one of the greatest athletes of all time.
He's not really athletic. No, but Elway actually kind of fits that bill a little bit more.
I mean, there are a number of quarterbacks that you could just fill in a certain team. I mean, some people might say Dan Marino is better than John Elway. Some people might say Joe Montana is better than John Elway. I mean, there you cannot answer this question completely without just putting them on that one team.
There are a lot of different, like, basketball does this too. When we want to debate GOATs, you typically look at championships first and then stats and awards and all that. For quarterbacks in football, it's the same thing. Nobody's having that debate with Barry Sanders and Walter Payton. You could debate me whether or not which one was the better running back, but we're not really talking about championships because it doesn't matter to wide receivers and running backs and defensive players. It's all about the quarterbacks. 11:52 the time. Let's wrap up hour number one. Top stories of the day coming up. Some fascinating stories out there nationally. We'll get to those. More on the Broncos coming up on Thursday against the Chiefs. It's must win if you want the bye. Pretty simple. We'll be right back.
For nuggets, games, and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
All right, coming up, top stories. A lot of fascinating stuff. The NBA might actually have an idea that I am kind of in on, or at least the conversation starting around it, I'm kind of in on. We'll get to it. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.